You know, there was a moment, and I just want to redirect your gaze. There was a moment when Jesus was lifted up for the first time, and he was lifted up on a cross. And in that moment, it looked like the Lamb was overcome. It didn't look like he had overcame. It looked like he was overcome in that moment when he was hanging from the cross. But 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And now we sing that the Lamb has overcome because Jesus is in heaven next to God at his right hand. And he's reigning now and for all eternity. And that's why we sing. That's why we sing about Jesus. And that's why we praise him. And that's why his name is the one that we put all our hope, our trust, and our confidence in. And I sense the heaviness of today. And I was reminded as we praised Jesus that there was a greater heaviness the day that he was lifted up on the cross for you and for me. And so as we think about the things we're going to consider today and then going forward, I just want to remind you there's one name that you need to consider. And it's not my name. It's not any of the elders. It's not any of the pastors before us. It's the name of Jesus because he's the chief shepherd and the chief pastor of this church. And that's who we look to this morning. Amen? Amen. Hey, turn to John chapter 15 if you have your Bible with you. There should be a Bible in front of you or around you. If you want to feel comfortable, go ahead and grab that. If you like it enough to take it with you, I won't hold it against you. You can mark it up. You can do whatever you want with it. But turn to John 15, and I'm going to pick up from where one of our elders, Rich, left off last week, and he talked about not only do we come to church, not only are we surrounded by people who go to church, we actually are the church. So when Jesus saves us, he sends his Spirit simultaneously to live inside of us, and now everywhere we go, we are the church. Turn to your neighbor. We don't touch anyone anymore, but wink at him and say, he's talking to you. That's right. Each of you are the church. And if that is true and we understand that rightly, and rightly means biblically, how will our lives change if we understand that Jesus is living through us and working in us every single day? And our friend and elder Rich shared that last week. Because the truth is, if we're going to walk out of this place understanding that, that doesn't change how hard it is to live for Jesus outside of these walls. It's real easy when we're safe inside of here, but that's not where God calls us. He calls us to go out and to be his church all around us. And that is a hard task for you, and it's a hard task for me. And so we need to know, what is our life rooted in? What is the life source for how we go about being the church? And so the name of our talk today is Life Source, the fruit of faithfulness, the fruit of faithfulness. And we're going to look at John 15 and see what Jesus said about faithfulness and fruitfulness. Those are the two words I want you to consider today. Faithfulness. Go ahead and say faithfulness. And fruitfulness. Go ahead and say fruitfulness. You know, there's a dynamic there somewhere in between, and Pastor John and I have been talking all of this year about what that dynamic is. What do we pursue? Do we pursue more faithfulness or more fruitfulness? And I believe God led me to John 15 this week so that we could get together some answers. So we're going to look at that today. And in order to find that out, we need to go to our master and our maker, Jesus, and he's going to help us understand the dynamic between these twin reality. So would you bow your head and pray in your heart with me? God, you are the King, and you established Jesus, your Son, to reign forever. His is the name that's above every name, and because of his name, we all gather today. And so would we understand rightly what Jesus said about how to live for him and how to remain, how to stay in him? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 15, I'm going to read the first three verses for us, and then you can follow along on the screen or in the Bible in front of you. John 15 says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, or other translations say the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Verse 3, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. We need to know our life source. And so we're going to start with our first truth that we're looking at today is that Jesus is our life source. We're not going to take this whole sermon and wait till the very end to find out what the culmination of the life source is. We're starting with it so that you know. It is that important. You need to know today, where is your life rooted in? What is the source of your life? And I'm telling you, it's Jesus. Jesus is a master storyteller. There's never been anyone better, and there will never be anyone as good as Jesus at looking at the material world and drawing spiritual realities based on what is the material all around him. And so Jesus is doing this as he has final conversations with his disciples. How many disciples were there? All in all? 12. But at this point, there's only 11 because Judas has already left. Judas is in the midst of betraying Jesus to his arch enemies right now. So there's 11 disciples, and Jesus is teaching them. Another great Bible teacher of our day, her name is Beth Moore, and she says it's probably very easy to imagine that Jesus is walking past a vineyard at this point that he's telling this story, because no one can do it like Jesus. And Jesus looks at this vineyard and he tells his disciples, hey, look at that vineyard. I'm going to teach you a truth that you probably don't know. And what he says is this: I am the true vine. I am the true vine. Out of all the fruits that Jesus could have chose to illustrate faithfulness, he chose one, and it was the grape. So if you want to know what the fruit of faithfulness is, it's the grape. And Jesus says, look at the vine, and I'm going to teach you a lesson that is so key to you being able to live for me going forward. And he said, I am the true vine. What he was saying was that I am true Israel. If you mark your Bibles up as I do, you can write next to John 15, you can write reversal of Ezekiel 15. Because if we had the time, we would look at Ezekiel 15, and hundreds of years before Jesus, the prophet Ezekiel says to Israel, and he says specifically to Jerusalem, which was symbolic of the whole. Jerusalem was the capital of Israel where the king reigned. And Ezekiel said, you are a vine. You are a vine, but your destination will be destruction. You are only good. You have proven that you are only good for the flame. And that's how Ezekiel talked about it. Jesus comes on the scene hundreds of years later and he says, they're a vine. Israel is a vine, but I am the vine. And if you want to find life, don't go to where Israel found it. Come to me. And he is the true vine. And that's what he says in verse 1. Israel was supposed to be a life source for the nations. God put them strategically in the highway from where all of life happened at that time. Wars were fought over Israel, between, up and down, between Israel. God strategically put them where he did so that they could be a life source for everyone else. God called them out and no one else so that they would point to a better way. And yet Israel failed time and time again because they went to the world for their source rather than showing them who the true life source was. Judas is a perfect illustration of this. Judas walked with Jesus for 3 years. Jesus taught Judas face to face. Jesus trusted Judas. Judas kept the money bag for the whole team. That's like an esteemed position. Judas had it. He was trusted. And yet, we see with his life where his life source was rooted in. It wasn't in Jesus. And I want you to know this happened thousands of years ago, but it is the same for us today. When we look to the world to find our life, it always ends in death. When we go to the world to find our satisfaction in our life, it always ends in death. But it wasn't just Judas. Peter did something incredibly similar this very night that Jesus is talking. He betrayed Jesus three times. Peter said, I don't know him. I don't work for him. I've never seen him before. The rest of the disciples abandoned Jesus. So we have a betrayal, Judas, that's a big one. Right next to it is a denial of Jesus. And then the last one was an abandonment. Here's what Jesus knows as he's on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. He knows that his people, his dudes, are about to fail in a big way. And here's what Jesus wants them to know. And here's what Jesus wants you to know. Your failure does not define your destiny. You may have failed 100,000 times, like we all have, but that does not define the path that God has for you. That does not dictate where you will end. And Jesus knew all his best friends were going to deny him. And he said, you are all already clean. You are clean. Though you're going to do a lot of dirty work tonight, you are still clean because you are in me and because you have received my words. Your failures do not define you. And Jesus is not done with you. And maybe you came this morning because you needed to hear Jesus is not done with you. I don't care what you did. Jesus is not done with you. Verse 4 continues, abide in me and I in you. Another word for abide is remain. The NIV translates it remain or stay in me. Abide in me and I in you, verse 4. Unless it abides, where am I? There I am. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus is saying that you will have no power to live. You will have no power to do the right thing. You will have no power to do any good thing if you do not stay plugged into the life source. We know all about plugging in our iPhones, right? They die at the worst times, right? That 1%, that's the longest, but you get there awfully quick, don't you? You will not have all that your iPhone can do for you if it is not plugged into the source of power. And that's what Jesus is saying. There is a source for you, a power source, a life source. If you are not in it, you will not abide, and you will not be able to do the fruit, produce the fruit that you want to produce. Continuing on, verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Someone who doesn't follow Jesus cannot do the things that only Jesus can do. Let me say that again. I know it's like all the way around. Someone who doesn't follow Jesus cannot do the things that only Jesus can do. Jesus wants to do something in you, but if you're not in him, he's not gonna do it. The only good things that you can do are things that Jesus will do through you. Amen. Said differently, the only good that counts comes directly from Jesus. The only good that counts. Doesn't matter if you help your grandma across the street. It doesn't matter if you pick up the trash on the side of the road. It doesn't matter if you say sorry when you cut someone off in the road and you don't beep at them. That does not matter. The only good that matters is what Jesus has for you to do, because Jesus is the only good one, and he is the one who produces good. And this takes us to the second truth. The second truth we see is that your source determines or dictates your steps. Your source determines your steps. Verse 6 says this, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. When you choose your source to be something other than Jesus, whether that's your work, you're finding your life and satisfaction in your work, in pleasure, you run to pornography or sexual immorality or adultery to find your life, or you run to relationships outside of Jesus to find your satisfaction, and that's where you're looking for your life from, then God will remove you from the only true source that exists, and then your steps always lead to destruction. Your steps will always lead to destruction when you're finding your life in something other than the true vine, Jesus. Verse 7 says this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Jesus is saying, be faithful to stay connected to me. Be faithful to stay connected to me. And you do that by filling your heart with my words. This is the word of God. Jesus is also called the word of God. If you want to remain in him, then you have to fill your mind and your heart with what God says and what God says through Jesus. If you are not doing that, you will not stay connected to him. If you want a faithfulness, a longevity to your life and honoring the king, and you want a fruitfulness, that's a productivity. If you want longevity and productivity, then you have to stay connected to Jesus. Verse 8 says this, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Listen, this is significant. Anything that brings God glory is something that we need to pay attention to. Because everything in the life and everything in the world is all working to one end, and that is God's great glory. So if there's something that we can do to be a part of bringing God glory, we need to know what that is and give our lives to doing that. And he's saying, God gets glory when you produce fruit. One leads to the other. Your faithfulness to remain in Jesus will inevitably and always lead to your fruitfulness. And fruitfulness isn't just having more things. It isn't just attaining the life that you want. It isn't just making more disciples of Jesus. Fruitfulness is something that happens inside of us too. It's a spiritual reality as well. And if you are faithful to remain in the vine, you will be fruitful because that is what gives God glory. Faithfulness is fused to fruitfulness. I want you to know that. That was something that God taught me this week. Your fruitfulness is fused to your faithfulness, and your faithfulness is all about staying in the vine, staying connected to the source of life. You know, I worked under a pastor years ago, and people would look at, myself included, we would look at all the fruit that was created as a result of his life and his ministry. And the fruit was insane. It was intense. It was unlike anything I'd ever seen. There was fruit everywhere on every tree that we looked at. And I was a part of that ministry. And here's what people said, a few people that I know and love said after this pastor was disqualified. They said, you know, I knew there was some things that happened in the faithfulness category, but I couldn't stop looking at the fruitfulness. Because we so quickly look at the fruitfulness. If we see someone who's producing, we want to engender ourselves to them. But let me tell you, it doesn't matter how much fruit your life produces if it's not connected to the vine. And if you're not faithful to do what God says in the little things and the big things, then those fruitfulness, those results will not matter and they will not last. They will not. And so those two things are fused and one starts, the other follows. It's always faithfulness first. It's always faithfulness first. You may not see what God's doing in your life. You may not see the fruitfulness and you may never see it until you go and live with Jesus or he comes back. And that's okay because all you need to know is that it starts with faithfulness. It starts with faithfulness and you cannot have fruitfulness apart from faithfulness. Verse 9 goes on and says this, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide or remain, stay in my love. Here's what I want you to know. Your source has a source. Your source has a source. Here's what Jesus was saying. I am motivated by my Father's love. My Father's love is what motivates me to live the life I'm living and to die the death I am on my way to dying. He chose to complete Mission Impossible because of the love that he had for his Father. Yes, Jesus is a better Ethan Hunt. If you don't know who Ethan Hunt is, it's Tom Cruise And I just saw this week that they're making two more Mission Impossibles. So you thought he was past his prime. No, he's still in it. But here's what we're going to call Tom Cruise, TC. Listen, JC is better than TC because TC can only save the world so many times before he is too old or too dead to keep going on. And Jesus died and he came back. Jesus completed the only impossible mission by living righteously, by dying completely, and by rising victoriously, and now he reigns eternally. That's what Jesus did. So if you know about Mission Impossible, Jesus is the one who overcame the only impossible mission that there ever was. Verse 10 says this: if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Listen, doing what God says is necessary to remaining in Jesus' space. If you want to remain in Jesus' space, you have to do what God says. What God commands you is necessary. Here's the problem. It's really hard to stay in Jesus' space because we're so good at staying in my space. Hello, 2003, social media, right? We are really good. We get my space. We do it really well because it's easy to live for ourselves. It's easy to do what's not easy. I'm sorry, it's easy to do what is difficult and to give up on what God called us to. But if you want to stay in Jesus' space, you have to do what God says. And so let me ask you, is what's keeping you from remaining in the vine, from abiding, from staying with Jesus, the fact that you're not willing to do what God says? We know everything that God says. There's a verse in Deuteronomy 29 that says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. There are some secret things that we're never going to know. And that's okay because we serve a big God who can do far more than we can ask or imagine. But the things that belong to you, I gave you that you would do them. That's a paraphrase of Deuteronomy 29. We know what God tells us to do. Don't let our unwillingness to follow it keep us from staying in the vine. This takes us to the third truth, and that is your source leads to your quality of life. I couldn't think of a more clever way of saying it, so I just said what I think this text is teaching us. Your source leads to your quality of life. Verse 11 says this: these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus says these things so that you can share in the joy that he radiates. Your best life now is the one that Jesus gave his life to give you. That is the best life that you can chase after. He's teaching his dudes right now as he's on the way to the Olive Garden. He's teaching them about grapes. He's about to go to a garden that is called the Mount of Olives because he's about to be crushed. It says that it was God's will and desire to crush his son. Jesus went to this Garden of Olives to be crushed. But guess what else gets crushed? Grapes. Grapes get crushed, and out of it comes something better than what the grape is on its own, and Jesus did it for your sake. All right, bear with me. We're going to read three verses together. You think you got it? Let's do it. Verse 12 says this: this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. How have I done that? Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I commanded you. No longer do I call you servants, for the worker does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. This is what he tells his guys who are doing life with him. If you continue to do life in me and with me, your life is going to be characterized by joy, by love, and by peace. We see joy in verse 10. Or verse 11, it says, I have spoken these things that your joy may be in you. Joy. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Love. Verse 12. Verse 14, you are my friends. Here's what Jesus is saying. Your life is going to be characterized by something greater than you if you stay in me. Love, joy, peace. You may have heard of these before. The Apostle Paul later calls these the fruit of the... I knew you would know it. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. They're all right here. And Jesus is saying your life will look different if you keep it in me. And I got to share this story. We went to IHOP yesterday because we love our pancakes, right? But I got to share some things that happened. God spoke to my wife on Friday. We had this plan. We had the weekend mapped out. And she had a plan to go and spend time with some dear people. And God was telling her all day. She told me in the morning, something's off. And God's speaking to her all day. And she's on her way. And then all of a sudden, she gets to Colvin. She turns around and she comes back. She gets home. I'm in the bath because obviously that helps me think better, you know. Anyone else in the house? I'm the only one. Okay, it's okay. So she comes in. I have no idea who's here. I'm in a bath. I'm not getting out. Well, my wife comes back and she comes up and she says, something's off. And I said, is it spiritual? And she said, yes. I said, what is it? She said, I don't know. And I didn't know. And I'm not, you know, a qualified, certified counselor yet. I have 3 more hours. I think after I get my certification, then I would have been able to help her. But we couldn't figure it out. And so it was something spiritual. We go to IHOP the next day. We could have gone to the original Pancake House. Hello, we love that place. You know, we could have gone to Exquisite Eats on the island. We love that place. But God led us to choose IHOP. And we didn't know why, other than we love pancakes. But we got there, and there was about one waitress in the whole house. There wasn't that many people there. We got there 20 minutes after they opened. And her name was Mary Ann. And God told me in my heart, you know, sometimes he speaks and he moves you to do things. And God told me, I want you to pray for Mary Ann. And so I asked Mary Ann as she came up to us, and we had been talking and building a relationship. And I said, Mary Ann, is there anything that I can pray for you? Because we love Jesus and we follow Jesus and we're about to talk to Jesus. And if you want us to take anything to him, we would love to do that. And Mary Ann said, I'm not going to quote because I would get it all wrong, but she said something to the effect of, you know, my sister is going through an incredibly tragic divorce. She's got a daughter and all that comes with divorce. And if you're a product or you know people or you yourself have been divorced, you know how messy it can get. And it was ugly. And she said this. She said, you know, every time I really need Jesus, he does something like this. He sends someone to me. And Liz and I knew in that moment, God did something in Liz, in her spirit, so that we would end up at IHOP on Saturday, because I wouldn't have been there if Liz wasn't with me. And God knew. And I want you to know that she said this kind of towards the end of our conversation. She said, I knew, actually it was in the beginning, she said, I knew there was something about you. I knew that you must have been Jesus followers, because there was something. I said, you know, you always say awkward things when you're in that moment, unless you're Wendy, because she always says the right thing, but I don't. You know, I sound like an idiot most of the time. When I was in that, I said, you know, I don't have a tattoo of Jesus. Like, yeah, of course. Like, why would you? You don't need to say, just stop. Shut up. Well, I said that, and she said, you know, I just knew there was something about you. Here's what I want to tell you. When your life is characterized by Jesus Christ, when he's inside of you, things come out that are not true of anyone else. And they are love, they are joy, and they are peace. And trust me, if you know anything about me, or you spent like, I don't know, 2 minutes with me, you know that those three things do not always characterize me. But the Spirit of God, they characterize him, and he is producing that in me. And if you have a relationship with Jesus, he's producing it in you as well. You will miss out, though, on those three realities if you are too busy to listen to Jesus and to hear from his Spirit. I don't know if there's a better time for us to hear that some of us are just too busy to spend time with Jesus. We can't remain in him if we have too many things that we need to do tomorrow. We will not stay near him if we are too busy to hear him. My wife Liz has actually just finished a book by John Mark Comer called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And that title for that book is based on off of a remark by a Christian philosopher, Dallas Willard. And here's what Willard said. Hurry is the enemy of spiritual life in our day. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. There may be nothing more dangerous to our life than the busy with which we fill our lives. That is dangerous because it keeps us from abiding in Jesus, from staying with Jesus, from remaining near Jesus. So Comer refers to four ancient ways. We call them spiritual disciplines. Four ancient ways to follow Jesus. I want to give these to you so briefly. The first is Sabbath. I'm not just talking about coming to church and then going and living the rest of your day the way that you live the rest of the week. I'm talking about taking a full day to disconnect from your iPhone, to disconnect from your email, to turn off your phone. No, you can do it. It's hard, but you can do it. For making time for a Sabbath, for a rest. The second is silence and solitude. This is intentional time with God and yourself. And really, as I envision it, it's taking who you are, yourself, and placing it before God and asking him, what are the things that are keeping me from growing? What are the things that you want me to take next steps in? If you do not spend time listening to God, you may miss out on what he's trying to do in your circumstances and in your life. Let me tell you, in 2013, I did this for the first time. I took a whole day and I dedicated it to the Lord. And I said, God, I need to know where I'm going. I need to know what's next because I have no idea. And God spoke to me. And he gave me his presence. And then he showed me what I should do next. And every single time I have made time to get with the Lord, he has met me in that place. And he will do the same for you. The third is simple living. It's kind of a fad that we call in our day and age minimalism. Listen, there was minimalism before minimalism. You know what I'm saying? We used to call it simple living. Followers of the way, we call them Puritans and theologians before our time, they would talk about simple living in a sense of not gaining more stuff, not trying to get a better house, not trying to get a better car, not trying to get a promotion in your job, just living in a simple manner so that you can stay connected to the vine. And then the last is slowing. This is what the followers of the way talked about when they said you just need to slow your body. And if you slow your body, then your life will follow. Now, two ways you can do this. I just tried them today. They were excruciatingly painful. Stop at the stop sign all the way. I know. I've never seen so many heads roll. Stop all the way. It's hard, guys. You can do it, though. And the second is actually follow the speed limit. Guilty as charged. And I got two tickets the first week I was here, or the first month, so if that says anything. Here's the thing, though. When we do these four things, and me and my wife and my family are committing to practicing these things with more intensity, and I want to invite you, practice these things and watch the fruitfulness that God's going to bring, because he can do way more than what you can do without him. And he wants to do that through you. That takes us to our last truth, and that is who you are sourced in. Let me try to say it right. Who you are is sourced in whose you are. Who you are is sourced in whose you are. Verses 16 and 17 say this: you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear much fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. Our world is constantly telling us to take care of self. Most things you hear from the world or experience in this world center around protecting self or promoting self. Those two things, and that's what the world constantly and voraciously tells us to do. Protect self, self-care, and promote self. That's what our world is saying, but that is not what Jesus is saying. He is saying something far differently. Listen, you will never discover your true self, your identity, who you are and what you were made to do by looking in a mirror or by looking inside. That does not have the answers you're looking for, because you didn't create yourself and you can't fully know your own heart. But Jesus created you. And Jesus gave you a new heart if you're in him. And he wants you to know how to live for him. And he wants to give you more fruit. Are you willing to be faithful? Let me make you a promise. If you commit yourself to faithfully return to Jesus for your rest and renewal, he will lead you into seasons that are fruitful. Let me say that one more time. This is my promise. If you commit yourself to faithfully return to Jesus for your rest and renewal, he will lead you into seasons that are fruitful. It all starts with faithfulness, and we have to rest in Jesus. So as we close, I want to invite the worship team back up. I want to say this, guys. Sometimes it feels incredibly hard to remain in Jesus and simply rest. I know it is hard. To stay in the place that God plants you is often the most challenging thing to do. There is one key that will unlock your staying ability. There is one key that will unlock your staying ability, and that is love. Verse 9 tells us that the Father God had a love for Jesus, and Jesus said, I have the same exact love for you. Therefore, go and love others. Here's what I want you to know. When Jesus knew that he wouldn't see God's face for the moments on the cross, and he wouldn't feel his love, and he wouldn't feel his presence, he knew that was coming, and that's why he sweated drops of blood. He knew that, but you know what kept him on the cross? It was his love for you. He said, I have the same love for you that my Father has for me, and my Father's love has motivated me to give up my life so that you could find life. Nothing we face will come close to the pain that Jesus went through because of his love for you. And because of that, Jesus often meets us in our pain. When you have pain, I don't know what it is, but if you take it to Jesus, Jesus is going to meet you in that place. We all have pain. We all feel pain, but you know who felt it more than any of us was Jesus. It says he sympathizes with our weaknesses, and he meets us in his pain. God comforts the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit. So with your pain, are you willing to take it to Jesus and find your rest in him? Listen, Jesus is the way. He is the truth, and he is the life source. Go to him and remain in his rest. Pray with me. Jesus, you are the King, and we go to your Father because that's what you taught us to do. So our Father who is in heaven, your name is holy. And we come to you because we need your help. We need the staying ability that Jesus talks about. Would you give it to us, God, because we do want to be fruitful for you, but we so being faithful. God, we need your strength. We need your spirit. We need to be strong in you and in the strength of your might. So I pray for each person in here, God, do the work that only you can do. And would you do it for your glory? I pray in your son's name. Amen.